Now, Adita, that's it. That two stories circulating.
But what's your reaction, personally? Do you think that could be correct, this later on, that we might have...
We received reports earlier that India had approached Indonesia for subscribing to it. This was some time ago, about 6-7 months ago, that India had approached Indonesia for subscribing to the Asian Collective Security. But now I don't know how far that is correct, but we had received those reports.
So naturally, if that is correct, then logically your second report becomes correct.
But thirdly, The Soviet Union is a great power, and your dealing with the Soviet Union has been much longer than ours. Soviet Union would not have enthusiastically agreed to many other things if there had not been some give and take.
Quid pro quo. How are your relations with the Soviet Union, sir?
Quite good, and nothing to worry about.
No, I was just... I know that there are very good relations, but aren't you going there? Are some leaders from there coming?
There's no proposal for the moment. Mm-hmm. Our relations with them are good, correct, and friendly.
But with the United States of America, they're friendly.
Well, it's very difficult to put these things in the balance. But at the same time, we have a longer relationship with the United States, an older relationship with the United States, but that doesn't mean that they are friendlier.
I don't know who was telling me here or somewhere else that when you remember when you were in Ayub ministry and you were shunted out, and you told somebody, reportedly, I'm talking about, it was told K. You said, do you know who was responsible for getting me out? And so generally the impression is, okay, it's the Soviet, it's the United States of America. And you reportedly said, okay, no, it wasn't the United States of America, it was the Soviet Union. Have I heard it correctly?
No, the point is, in the first place, I wasn't shunted out.
Well,
no, let me...
Crowded out.
No, let me correct you.
No.
I'll tell you, it's an interesting thing, I'll tell you briefly.
Yes.
Ayub Khan pleaded with me in London, in the Claridge's Hotel, when we had gone for the Commonwealth Conference in 1965, after the overthrow of Ben Bella. He pleaded with me that the time had come for Pakistan to change its, if not change its policy towards China, but to freeze it. And he told me that he wanted me to articulate this policy and to bring about the necessary adjustments. I told him that this was a very difficult task and one which I felt hesitant about. But I told him, give me a day to think it over, a night, because he asked me this at about 6:30 in the evening. And I can tell you that I thought about it all night, all its implications, all its ramifications of how it would affect Pakistan and the future of Pakistan. And in the morning, I was still thinking on this matter, and I went across the road to Lyons Corner House, had a cup of coffee, and went back to his room. And I told him that I've thought about the matter very seriously. And I do not think that either freezing our relations with China or doing anything similar to it would be in Pakistan's interest. I told him there's no such thing as freezing relations, because when it comes to freezing, after freezing comes the pushback, and great powers will not stop at freezing. Once they take the initiative out of your hands, then they will put you on the defense and they will muck up your relations. And I said, it's not worth the candle to muck up your relations with China merely because the Afro-Asian conference is not going to take place and it has been a setback. But one must accept setbacks. And that was the approach that he had with me. And up to the end, he was trying to convince me that the time had come for a change. And I had said the time had not come for a change. We should hold steadfast to our policy. That's how the break came. But now it's a thing of the past.
No.
Thing of the past is that not only the United States, but the United States and the Soviet Union both were interested in my
leaving this guy.
Both the great powers. And I'm one of the few politicians who has staged a comeback after having been opposed,
eliminated both
great powers, because poor Krishna Menon alienated one of them, and he never could effect a recovery. He could never effect a recovery. So Karno alienated one, he could not effect a recovery. And Krumah alienated one, he could not recover. There are so many other examples. But here was a case of a sheer coincidence where two superpowers were both interested in me being out of the way and out of the political arena of Pakistan, and I staged a comeback. And yes, with good relations with both of them.
Yes.
And so you see how wrong the superpowers can be.
Sir, about China, now, what do you think of, and say, would you like to comment on Sino-Indian relations? After all, this is, as you said, very critical. We are approaching them almost every day or every second day. Look here, have good relations. What is standing in the way?
But the point is, how can I comment on it? Because once I said it, I said in jest to, I think it was Karanja. I said, well, look, your relations will remain deadlocked till you seek Pakistan's mediation. You know, said in jest.
Yes, just like last time also you said. Look here, why don't you ask me to as a go-between?
Swaran Singh was so sensitive to it that he immediately took official cognizance of it.
Oh, I see.
And said that we don't need the services of a third country. I was not offering the services of Pakistan, but I was saying it in that way. I think that once you have your, this is my reading of the situation, I'm not speaking on their behalf, I can't. Once the POWs all come back, including the 195, you will find that the process of normalization will be accelerated. This is my assessment, my reading.
You haven't, yes, while on Brezhnev, I wanted to ask you about Indian Ocean. After you are also somewhat concerned about it.
Yes, very, very much concerned.
Yes. And how do you react that superpowers are now sending their naval forces in that area? I mean, say, the US has already done.
I tell you, it will become more. This has happened. Mm-hmm. The Indian Ocean is becoming the center of attention. And this is only the beginning. You will find a very acute interest being taken in the Indian Ocean as time passes. And now with the energy crisis and all the consequences of it, it will become a source of traffic for the great powers and other states as well. I would not like to see that happen. It is our ocean. We may only call it the Indian Ocean, but we have as much a stake in it. We wouldn't like to see that happen. We would like it to be a sea of tranquility.
Sea of peace.
Ocean of peace. Of course. But what can we do about it? It is very little lies in our hands. And of course we can...
You mean when you say lies, neither India nor Pakistan can do anything?
Well, India can at least take her aircraft carrier somewhere around to...
5-6 miles or 7 miles.
To show the flag.
Yeah.
But we don't even have an aircraft carrier. And we cannot impede or prevent them from being in this ocean. It's not a good development. But it is now to be expected, and I say that in future there will be more and more interest in this region.
That means there might be, after one thing can lead to another.
Can.
Why suddenly you have started, or you means Pakistan started taking interest in CENTO?
Not suddenly. Neither we have any sudden interest in it, nor do we have any particular attachment to it. We have taken an interest in CENTO for two or three reasons. One is that the Indian-Soviet Treaty of August 9, 1971 has made us think twice before walking out of these alliances. Of course, connected with it is the dismemberment of the country. Number two. Number three, if now those leaders who were critical of these pacts are now praising these pacts, and if a detente is taking place between the great powers and the superpowers, these pacts have gone into the background. And since they have gone into the background, and they are not of any urgent and immediate interest to us in promoting our relations one way or the other, we can take our own time to consider our future outlook towards them. It is not a matter of urgency. Since it's not a matter of urgency, we'd like to give it some time to see where does it lead to. If we were to try, we could have even attended the non-aligned conference. Because if you can attend the non-aligned conference, we can attend the non-aligned conference under the present circumstances.
But I believe we kept you out.
No, we didn't try. On this occasion, I thought that it's no use making an effort. After you don't seek an invitation, you are invited. And if you're not invited, you don't go begging for an invitation.
Just like I think we are being kept out of Islamic conference. We have about 6 crores of Muslims.
No, but you're not in the Muslim state.
Yes, but in Rabat we were invited.
No, but you're invited because of the Yahya Khan's inability to understand elementary matters. And of course, he was unable to understand the implications of an invitation to India. And you did not attend finally the conference because it was dawned on him by the press reports from here. But then you gained from his other mistakes. So if you have lost from this mistake, that's different. But it was not his loss. It has to be a Muslim majority state. Otherwise, you see, there are Muslims in Yugoslavia, there are Muslims in the Soviet Union, there are Muslims in China, there are Muslims in Albania. You can't on that basis.
No, but then probably Bangladesh will be invited.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see. No, I talked to some people yesterday, they said, okay, Bangladesh, maybe we haven't decided.
No, but it's for me to decide, because I am the Prime Minister, we are going to invite Bangladesh.
I said, you will invite.
Yes. They are Muslim states. They are different, but it was not his loss. It has to be a Muslim majority state. Otherwise, you see, there are Muslims in Yugoslavia, there are Muslims in the Soviet Union, there are Muslims in China, there are Muslims in Albania. You can't on that basis.
No, but then probably Bangladesh will be invited.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see. No, I talked to some people yesterday, they said, okay, Bangladesh, maybe we haven't decided.
No, but it's for me to decide, because I am the Prime Minister, we are going to invite Bangladesh.
I said, you will invite.
Yes. They are Muslim state. It's for them to accept or not accept.
Yes, yes. I mean, of course. I mean, doors are open.
Yes. And that will also be helpful.
Yes. I hope you don't discuss Kashmir there.
No, no. It's going to be on the Middle East then, probably.
No, nothing can be ruled out.
No, we don't want to exploit a conference. We don't want to call a conference for one purpose and use it for another purpose. That would be very short-sighted. And this kind of Munshi diplomacy has not paid any dividends to either India or Pakistan. We are calling the conference to show Islamic solidarity on the Middle Eastern problem, on the question of the withdrawal of territory by Israel of Arab-occupied territory, on Jerusalem and on the Palestinian problem. These are the three.
Sir, can I talk to you for a minute about internal problems?
Yes, yes.
Because, see, two, three things I have heard and I thought I would ask you for me. One, wherever I have gone and whomever I have met, I am talking about the opposition first. They said, Mr. Bhutto is becoming a dictator, or has already become a dictator, and there is no civil liberty, and people are beaten up, thrown in jails. I mean, say all kinds of things are being said. Now, I thought, I haven't lived long enough in this country, so I would ask you about this. Because I found you were the man who restored democracy in this country. You gave parliament the constitution. I said you wanted to be a dictator, probably you could have.
I got the question. Let me tell you, truthfully, I am attached to democratic principles and to democracy, truthfully. It is a canard to say that I am temperamentally repugnant to democracy. It's very easy to fling these words, but I believe in democracy. I know that our people cherish their freedom, all that is there. And as you said, that not only have we had a constitution, but I went out of my way to see that it is a unanimous constitution. I made many compromises on the form of government, on the types of system that we should have. All that was done to achieve a genuinely democratic constitution.